it a 5 out of 5 on Target. Okay, that's fine. Praise is okay. Hey, thank you for joining the Escape With Me book club. Escape with me, Sam Reiner.
And me, Danielle.
Into our most recent read. Come with us as we evade reality and go into detail about a new book. We'll be covering the book from beginning to end, so remember, there will be spoilers. Today we are going to future USA. Non-specific. Possibly the Midwest, maybe the Southeast. We are unsure. Mississippi River may or may not come up. Published in May 2005. Pretties is the second installment in...
Sorry, hold on. So, according to ScottWesterfield.com, the unnamed city where Tally lives is roughly where Seattle is. So we were pretty far off.
Way off. Oh my goodness. I thought it was Atlanta.
And this is not an official whatever. This is Googling very quickly.
I don't know, but his own website feels pretty official.
Yeah. It's from 2007, so they have not updated it, so.
Jeez, they travel a long way in specials. Anyway.
Okay, continue.
To roughly the Seattle area. They really should mention rain and snow way more. Anyway, it's the second in the Uglies trilogy? I feel like that'd be appropriate to say.
Yes. It's a trilogy. There is a fourth book, extras in the series.
Yeah, that's not part of the Tally trilogy.
Yeah.
Tally gives herself up to the specials organization and allows herself to become pretty so that they may be able to test...
The cure.
The cure. Thank you. I was about to say brain lesion medicine.
I mean, that is what it is. But untested cure. But they need a pretty mind. A willing pretty mind. Because they have Shay already beautiful at the end of Uglies.
But will the brainwashing of the specials be stronger than Tally's own memories? Or will Tally be able to break out of her pretty mindset? That is the questions for this book.
Dun, dun, dun. I'm gonna let y'all know right now, Tally has an ugly little mind. She fights it, but is that pre-knowledge because she knows the cure before she gets it? Because she knows that stuff is gonna happen? Like, she knows she'll turn pretty?
I don't know. We'll get into it. But to start off, let's do some content warnings. There is some very strong self-harm themes that are not portrayed very well in this book. Specifically, self-harm and self-starvation. I don't think those are handled the best. So that is something to keep in mind. There's mentions of sex. Nobody has it, but they mention it. And there is definitely blood. So those are things. Age rating, it's young adult, but it does have some heavier themes that, like I said, I don't think is handled really well. Judge a book by its cover. Do you remember in middle school when we first read these books? I have to say, I know we were nostalgic for them now, but I don't really feel like I liked them in middle school. Like, I liked the Uglies one, but I didn't like Pretties.
Well, and Pretties had two people on the cover.
And I'm not sure if the second person is Paris or Zane. I think it's Paris.
See, I always just assumed it was Zane because that's her love interest.
Yeah, but he doesn't have the black hair and kind of the gaunt features. And so the way Paris is described, but we also are not considering the fact that it could be nobody.
Yeah. The girl in the picture has kind of reddish hair.
Yeah, pink highlights.
Yeah, something crazy. And it's like, is this just a generic pretty person? Because I thought it was supposed to be Tally on all of the covers, because, I mean, it's her book. And then when you get to extras, when you look at that one, it's clearly an Asian heritage person. I'm not exactly sure what hers is. But for the first three, I thought it was Tally, because it's supposed to show her getting more beautiful, getting the specials tattoos and stuff.
Yeah, especially on the original specials cover, you can tell it's Tally because of how they describe the facial tattoos. But I don't know, I never liked the Pretties cover. It's just very boring. It's two people staring at you.
Well, and then on the second cover, because they, I think, from what I can see, there are three.
I hate second cover. Isn't it just legs?
Yeah, the second one is just legs.
It's weird.
Not that the Uglies one is any better, because it's a face covered up with a white sheet.
Which I feel like that would be more appropriate for pretties.
Yeah. The original Uglies cover, I love. But for pretties, I don't know. I don't like the new or the old one or the... I'm trying to find a picture of the new series pictures.
I can send you what I have.
Oh, that's gorgeous. Oh, I wish this is the one I had.
Right? The new cover. Oh, wait. Okay, I found a third cover. It's somebody's face with the
tree branches.
No, not that one. That's the new one. I found a Spanish cover.
Okay.
I don't know what country, but the tagline is written in Spanish.
Ooh.
No, it's written in French. Let me actually look at the words instead of just guessing.
How many covers are there? Because I mean, it's for Uglies. I haven't found another pretty one, but it looks like it's a different series cover again. It's blue background. And it looks like a medical bin of Barbie doll pieces. Is this a real cover? It's on Amazon. So is that four covers for this series?
Yes. That's the UK version.
Oh my goodness. There are so many versions of this.
So yeah, the UK version has the Barbie dolls and whatever. And then there's this bootleg one that I found once, and I'm not sure if it's a real cover.
Is it the black back cover and then there's yellow with eyes? What is this?
No, I'll send it to you real quick. It's a creepy doll and then pixelation. And it's from Entertainment Weekly.
Ooh.
Their review of the book. And so I don't know if that was ever a book cover. It doesn't look right.
I don't think that's a real cover. It's interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. Here's just to say the original Uglies cover. I wonder if that's one of the reasons I didn't like it, actually. Because I didn't like the cover. And so I came into the book kind of prejudiced.
You're talking about the original one with two people on the cover. For the pretties. Okay.
Also because 12-year-old me was such a pick me. And totally had that toxic anti-femininity. Like if you're feminine, you're stupid and you only care about your looks. And so you're dumb. And so I went in being like, pretties are stupid because all they care about is themselves and being na-na-na-na-na. And so I feel like the cover didn't help that.
I mean, honestly, that's the plot of Pretties for a good chunk of it.
It is.
If you're pretty, you're stupid. Ha ha ha. Because Tally's not as stupid as them. So she's better than everyone.
Oh my gosh.
It's her whole personality.
But I will say, rereading these books, I'm actually very surprised what my preference is now versus when I first read them at 12, what my preferences were then. Because then my favorite book was Specials. And we'll get into why that is no longer the case.
Yes. As an adult, you can see things that you didn't. For me, Uglies was always my favorite.
See, that was my second favorite. I just thought it was so cool that she had all the powers and she was so cool and blah, 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 blah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, Specials has its place, especially as a young reader for the first time.
Yeah.
But for me, versus Pretties and Uglies, there was so much potential. She was rebelling. She was learning. She found out this big, massive secret about her entire world that came crumbling down. And in Pretty, she's kind of just like, I'm gonna go to a party.
It's true. But the thing I liked as an adult and someone who's more experienced with sci-fi now.
Yes.
And being married to someone whose obsession is speculative fiction. And so hearing from him what makes good sci-fi books and stuff like that. The world building in Pretties is insanely interesting to me. Because I like Uglies in that, first of all, it has the burden of setting up the dynamic of the world. And so it has to come up with a normal. And so the Uglies normal is actually pretty adjacent to real world right now, except they have hoverboards.
Yeah. And they separate by ages very strictly, but some cultures do.
Yeah.
Or they send their kids away to school until they're a certain age, and then you get to come home. Then you get to see your family.
Yeah.
It's not unrealistic as it can be.
I just meant Uglies. And so in some ways, the world building's a little bit more boring because the first book does have the burden of setting up normal for the world. And then it gets really interesting because you go to the smoke, and so you have this futuristic person describing things that are normal for us, and so that's really interesting. But in Pretties, it's really interesting her being in New Pretty Town, city, whatever.
Town, yes.
And seeing the social structure of being a new pretty, and them kind of understanding that one day they'll be a middle pretty, but not really, and how different it is. Her her mindset and her goals and her aspirations after the surgery have changed from Uglies.
See, I have the opposite view, I guess. I thought Uglies did a little bit more for the world building, and then Pretty's kind of just settled into it. But it's because I think in junior high, whenever you're thinking about schools and all that, it just felt like she was going to a boarding school, or it felt like she was going to like a college dorm kind of thing.
Yeah, that's kind of how I felt.
And so for me, it felt more of just continuing. It does do a lot more with the series, and if Uglies had ended how it did and it didn't continue to Pretty's, like if there was not the rest of this trilogy, I don't think it would have stood up as much as it has in the past 20 years.
Yeah, I definitely think it feels like the transition, especially since I read it in middle school, the transition from middle school to high school, or if I had read it in high school, maybe the transition from high school to college.
Yeah, it felt like a high school boarding school in my head when I was little, when I was first reading it. I mean, I've reread the series 5 or 6, 7 times because it's one of those that it's dumb and it's got a lot of flaws, but it brings me back to that junior high first time reading, which is very hard for a series to still have an impact.
Which I'm not sure why you're so nostalgic for middle school.
God, I love this series. I don't know. But it felt more like a boarding school. And so it just like was like, oh, of course they're thinking about where they're gonna get their job and their grand plans for that kind of thing.
Yeah, and it's kind of like right now they're just in the party phase and they're making friends and connections and trying to figure out how to stand out from the crowd and whatever. It's very YA.
Yes. It stays in genre, I think.
Yeah. I don't know. Like I said, that's why I kind of enjoyed Pretty's a little bit more, because it was different than real world.
From your real world, though.
Yeah.
A lot of people do go to a boarding school.
Well, I just meant, oh, what does she do? She goes to class and hangs out with her friends in the park.
In Uglies, yes.
And I mean, yeah, she does the whole hoverboard, which is cool. Woo. But for me, it doesn't get interesting until part 3.
Yeah.
Part 2 is okay. It goes on forever. But part 3 was when it started getting interesting, versus I feel like Pretty's, they were able to be world-buildy and interesting from the first get-go.
Yeah.
I actually think the first section's probably strongest.
I think I agree with that. It just, I don't know. I feel like more of the world-building had to happen in the first book.
Like I said, it had the burden of being normal, or setting up whatever normal is. So when something came along that wasn't normal, we can be like, oh, that's not normal.
Wow.
But I think something we could probably both agree, Tally is not the main character of this book. Zane is the main character of this book. We just happened to be from Tally's viewpoint.
Oh my goodness. I wish it was from his POV. I would love that.
This book series would be infinitely better if it was from Zane's point of view.
Or Shay. Oh my god. Specials as Shay. Ugh.
There is a Shay book for Uglies, I think. Her perspective of all this. I don't think I would want to read Shay in specials. Reading Tally was bad enough. I would be interested in a Shay in Pretty's.
She has a lot of interesting stuff that happens that Tally glosses over because she's not a part of it.
Yeah.
Because she's so self-centered. I know every time anyone mentions this series, especially you and me, that's her hubris. She cares about Tally, and that is all. Yes, she does care about her man to an extent, but
not really.
No. She immediately trades up from David, spoilers, when she gets into Pretty's. She forgets him, which is not her fault.
Which, like I said, I'm okay with that. I am not pro Tally David at all. I've talked about my grievances in the first episode. I think the power dynamic is really screwy between them, and David's kind of a jerk.
He was very entitled.
He was very entitled. And she was young and dumb.
Yeah.
And I didn't like the dynamics. So I'm fine with David just being gone. Zane is so much better.
Yeah, because at least Zane, yeah, he was a little older than her, but it was maybe a year. I think it was less than that, but David was clearly at least 2 years older than her in Uglies.
And he had the power dynamic because he was able to survive and do everything and be the more mature one, versus I feel like her and Zane were like a team, and they were figuring things out together, and it was puzzles, and Tally would do stuff, but then get stuck, and then Zane would help out, and then he would get stuck. It felt like a given take.
As her boyfriends go, Zane was the better one.
All two of them.
I still don't think she deserves any love. She doesn't deserve either of these men.
Oh, she does not deserve Zane.
As problematic as David was, she don't even deserve him.
She does not deserve Zane. Zane is a national treasure that should have been protected at all costs. But anyway, that's definitely some of Special's leaking in, and I'm trying not to get there. But Tally does not deserve Zane.
Yes. But Zane in Pretties, he is such a,
Zane in Pretties. Tally and Zane are good. They're great. I love them. Yes, the love triangle could have stopped there. I don't care about David.
They just really want to force love triangles, but it's such a YA trope, because you have Twilight, you have Hunger Games.
It is, but they don't do it well.
I don't know if you ever read the Matched series.
No.
That's a great one that has a beautiful love triangle. Even in Divergent a little bit, they had a little love triangle for a second. That one was not the strongest of the YA dystopian novel.
But the problem is he decides to start a love triangle in the second book, except in the first book, it's only David. And in the second book, David's not there.
Yeah.
Until the very end. And so it's not like you can have any sort of love drama.
Well, and she doesn't really remember David.
At all.
So it's forced.
And so at the end, when she chooses Zane, it's supposed to be this big moment. And I'm like, no, any rational person would have chosen Zane right there.
Yeah.
Instead of you, David.
Well, and David in the first one at the very end, whenever she leaves, he goes off and pouts. Like, he doesn't walk her to the door, take her home, bring her to Pretty's.
Is a man child.
And so in Pretty's, there's some vague excuse about, oh, he was doing something else. He was so busy saving everybody, he couldn't do it. And I think Croy has to be the one to bring the pills for Tally.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, your man who says he loves you, wants to fight for you, can't even bother. I know they were on a little bit of a crunch time. They had to, blah, blah, blah.
How much better would it have been if it was David?
Oh, I could have gotten way more on board with their love triangle.
But it's not. It's Croy. And so David isn't there until the very end.
Yeah, he leaves a note. Or he doesn't even know. She leaves a note for herself.
And then in the third book, we're supposed to believe this love triangle exists at some point. And it's dumb.
Yeah.
It's a really dumb love triangle. And I hate love triangles done badly. And this is done badly.
Because at least in Uglies, with the Shay, Tally, David love triangle, because it keeps getting brought up in the other books, especially in Specials, but it is brought up a little bit in Pretty's once ever they realize about David, who he is at the very, very end. The Shay stuff is brought up a little bit.
Yeah, the Shay stuff at the end when she starts becoming less pretty minded, that gets brought up.
She remembers David before Tally does.
Yeah.
She was the one true love of poor David, and instead, I would have shipped them so hard.
In a way, I feel like there is a love triangle between Shay, Tally, and Zane. That's more legitimate.
In Pretty's, yes. In Uglies, it's very established. It's with David. But in Pretty's, I think it's the power dynamic that Shay wants. She wants Zane because he's the top dog.
That's the thing. She doesn't want Zane. She wants Tally.
Oh, see, I've never read into that.
The entire relationship between them. And she's like, wow, you're ditching me for a boy again?
Yes, the jealousy.
It gets brought up a lot in Specials because she's like, leave Zane because da da da. But I'm telling you, if you go back and read it again, there is a clear, maybe not romantic desire, but there is a clear desire for Shay to have Tally's attention and Tally's devotion.
No, that I can see. There's nothing romantic between them, even on Shay's part.
No, but it's still this weird, I don't know if love power triangle.
Yeah.
Devotion triangle that's going on in these books, which is one of the reasons Shay gets on my last nerves.
See, I stan Shay. I love her.
I know, but I'm just like, stop with Tally. Just stop being friends. Please stop. Go get your own boy. There are plenty of them out there. Date Paris. There you go. Get back at her. The best friend. Like, make it messy, but don't do this. You're choosing another boy over me, so I'm gonna start a cult. And for some reason, she becomes a special. Okay, at the end, she becomes a special. I don't understand why they did this. Shay Faye of all people should not have been a special. Nothing about her is proven herself to be part of special. Like, Tally proved herself. I feel like Zane proved himself. Some of the others also kind of proved themselves, but Shay just threw a tantrum long enough that somebody was like, okay.
See, with Shay, I think that Dr. Cable had wanted her was because she was one of the few that actually ran away to the smoke in Uglies. And then in Pretties, as problematic and terrible as the Cutters were, she was the leader of that. She had her own little crew. She kept people... What is it, bubbly? What's the one when they're smart?
Yeah, they call it bubbly.
And icy and then specials.
Yeah, but I feel like it was just a long ploy to get Tally. I don't feel like Dr. Cable wanted Shay. I feel like Dr. Cable wanted Tally.
Shay was a means to an end to get Tally?
Yeah, because she's very obviously obsessed with Tally.
I could see that. But then in specials, they put Shay, the leader of the group, just because she was there first?
Yeah, I think it's because she was there first. But even as a leader, she's not a good leader. We'll get into that.
Yes, next book.
But there's nothing about Shay that makes me think, yeah, that makes sense. It just felt like such a ploy to be able to pull up with her former best friend and be like, hey guys, I'm a special. You could be a special too. We're kidnapping you and we're gonna be together forever.
Dun, dun, dun.
And then the end, the last words were like, face it, Tallywa, you're special.
That's such a killer last line though, because Tally's the least special person. Some of the background people in Pretties, I'm like, wow, this is a special human being. I would love this person to be main character vibes.
Yes.
But no, we have Tally. Still. I think that's why I liked Extra so much. I don't always reread it when I read the series because it's clearly a trilogy plus an add-on.
Yeah.
Because it's not Tally. It's not. And you get to see more of the world that was created in a different town, in a different city, and some of the after effects of like, oh, the pretty rain's over.
Yeah.
But in Pretties, it's Tally. She's who we got.
Yeah.
Zane would have been a great
main character.
Switch to POVs a couple of times, maybe.
I also think it would be nice because this is a very 2000s book. Tally is such a pick me.
Yes.
It's not even funny. And so I feel like maybe Scott's wheelhouse would have been more towards writing a interesting and realistic boy versus his attempts to write a girl.
Well, I don't know. It's not necessarily Scott Westerfield's fault, but when male authors write teenage girls, there's always a disconnect. I don't think he did it terribly. I think Tally is believable, but she's a little snot.
She's a caricature.
Yes.
Of what a teenage girl in the 2000s is. There's some parts where it's like, yeah, but there's a lot of parts where it's like, Tally is very flat.
The series is being made into, is it a movie or is it a TV show?
I have no idea at this point.
It's getting picked up by somebody. I want to say Netflix. So we'll see what that happens.
I really think they should drop it at this point.
Never. They will never drop it. They have been promising us this.
It's been almost 20 years. There are other properties you can pick up Netflix.
No, only this.
Only this.
This forever. I'm so excited. I can't. It's going to be terrible, but I'm going to love to hate it.
Oh my gosh. All right. Let's get into specifics about the book. Oh, but before we do that, the tagline on the book is stupid and I hate it.
Remind me.
What happens when perfection isn't good enough? That has nothing to do with the book.
Also, to be fair, Tally is never perfect.
No.
And I don't know if it's just because, like I said, she knew about the brain lesions going into it as an ugly and then she turned pretty. That was hindering her.
But even as a pretty, she was like, I want to do all this extra stuff. It was never perfection.
Yeah. Tally never reached that pretty level that everybody else seemed to be fine with.
Yeah.
It's hard to tell because most of her friends were crims, but thank goodness they keep Paris along for the ride so we can see what a normal pretty kind of deals with.
Yes.
I was kind of wearisome when I first read it and Paris was a character because I was really afraid they were going to try to love triangle Zane and Paris and Tally.
At least that would have been a good love triangle.
The old school, the best friend that got pretty and then you followed him.
I am surprised. That felt like some low-hanging fruit. The really easy drama points.
I really felt like it was going to happen for most of Pretties.
I don't know how I feel about that.
I mean, it's not actually there. It's made up. We just, in our heads, I made this up.
I know. know, but the fact that it isn't there.
He could have done that.
Okay, yeah, girls and guys can be best friends and no romantics, whatever. But I do think it would have added to the drama of Paris pulling back at the end if there was more of a connection.
If he was in love with Tally the whole time.
Either that, or even if they spent more time together. She spends so much time with Zane. Paris barely is in this book at all. And so when he's like, I'm staying behind, it's not as impactful.
There's no kick in the gut.
Yeah. And so if there had been either this love triangle or a more devoted friendship, like an established.
Because Tally's a terrible friend. She doesn't deserve friends.
True.
Her one friend in Uglies, Shay, she betrays. And then you get to Pretties, and then she doesn't think twice about it. Whenever Paris is like, I must stay. After she's not talked to him for this whole book, basically.
I know.
And Shay goes and makes a cult. And instead of being like, hey, Shay, I've noticed you've been drifting or we're having issues. Can I work on this?
Or even telling her, hey, look what we found.
Bare minimum. Hey, there's a cure. You can't take it now because we already time sensitive. We had to take it because that's Shay's whole thing about her. She's like, oh, you gave it to a stranger.
Yeah, they split it between her and Zane, which, okay, I'm really mad. The note should have said, from the doctor, take both.
Take two.
Do not separate.
I think they forgot they were handing it to a pretty.
If you're just handed two pills and no instruction, no wonder Zane's like, yeah, let's split it. No, I'm sorry, guys. This one's basically a placebo because they didn't have anything to kill.
To be fair, the original plan was David was going to give them to her. But your boy was out, I don't know, doing nothing, hiding in the ruins.
I really don't remember what he was doing.
It's a vague something like, oh, he couldn't get there because they were moving the smoke.
Yeah.
Or some kind of, only he could do this. And it's like, okay, well.
Whatever.
You had one chance at the cure with this girl. You should probably bring it to her.
Yeah. But even if Croy did it, even if it wasn't in the note, Croy being like, hey, we're having a conversation. We're just sitting here talking. Blah, 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 blah.
They could have left a second note.
Yeah, that. Or Croy could be like, hey, when you find it, take two. Or like something.
I know that they have to make her find it and prove that she is not a bubblehead.
Counterpoint, why? Why did they have to do that?
If you're gonna take the pills anyways, what does it matter? Exactly.
Just hand her the note and be like, and you have to take this now. And I don't understand why they had to do all this stuff, only to get caught. All of this extra stuff. Beside the fact that it was kind of fun to read, and like I said, it was part of the pro Tally Zane relationship is them figuring out this stuff together. But why? Why the hoops?
This book as a whole doesn't have that many interesting things for me.
No.
Because after they do the tower, they basically drink some champagne and make the sky fall, the ice ring, which was kind of cool. It would be good to see on screen.
Yes.
But like, dang, it's like, oh no, they're drinking champagne. They're filling it on the floor.
Which, it once again, gets back to the, but why are we doing this? At the time, they're like, oh, we needed to do this to stay bubbly and get people talking about us.
And then let the new smoke know that the cure worked. But it didn't work on the rest of these people. How would they even know that you took this? Maybe you're just stupid.
And now we can't have ice rinks in the sky. Thank you. This is why we can't have nice things.
Oh my goodness. I love the fashion statement with their little wrist cuffs after Zane and Tally get in trouble.
Oh my gosh.
And they have to have these little wrist cuffs, and then everybody is procuring them from the walls. At least Tally has the forethought to be like, hey guys, get them from the wall. Get them fake. Make sure you get fake ones, guys, because they can listen. I don't even think she tells anybody that they can listen. Paris might have known or picked up on it, but her secretive, but why? Who is this hurting telling them that they have brain damage? If they don't believe you, they don't believe you. If they do believe you,
they can come with. I feel like she at least owed Shay that explanation, but she was like, nah, I'm gonna just keep hanging out with my boyfriend.
Yes. I mean, a little bit Paris, and they have other friends that are a part of this. It's basically Paris and Shay that are the only real talking points in this as her friends, or Zane's friends. Zane had friends before she got there.
Yeah, and then there's Fausto. How do you pronounce Fausto?
The audiobook I listened to said it was Fausto, like Fast-O. That's how the narrator pronounced it.
That name was stupid. Anyway.
Well, they're so exotic because they don't want us to think that they're in our time period.
I know.
Obviously, they're in the future because they don't know names.
Yeah, because they only have first names.
And then they're like, David, that's so exotic. Like, oh, wow.
Ugh, that's such a white boy name.
It fits him. Fits him perfectly.
Oh my gosh.
They had another main friend, I think.
There aren't that many characters in this book. I wrote down all the named characters.
It's like 10 of them total, including some from the first book.
There are 14 named characters in this book.
Yeah, that makes sense. And one of them's Dr. Cable, so.
I kind of wonder if Cable was her first name, because none of these people have last names. Before that, was she just Cable? Did everyone just call her Cable? And then she became a special, and then she was Dr. Cable.
Ooh, that's an interesting thought.
Because they don't have last names.
Oh, no, they do. Tally Youngblood, she's got a last name.
Oh, yeah.
Does Zane have a last name?
I don't think they ever say it. It's just Zane.
And I don't know Shays.
Yeah, I don't know Shays. I don't know Paris's. Definitely don't know a bunch of these others.
Festo. Croy.
Oh, the trauma counselor at the hospital had a first and a last name.
Maybe when you're an adult. Oh, but Tally's not.
I don't know. The author just left him out.
I feel like as an author, he either needed to add them all or give none of them last names.
Yeah.
I hate when I realize something so small and dumb about an author, or you watch a whole movie and you're like, oh, what was the name of that guy? And it's like Blue Shirt Boy or Young Lad or something stupid. And it's like, you didn't name this character that broke my heart this whole movie. I've never thought about that before.
That way it's done. Yeah.
But Cable very clearly could have been her first or last name because of how crazy exotic that they want to make these names. But honestly, this might not be too far-fetched from names happening in 2022.
Oh, something we do need to mention, and I need to correct something we said in the first episode. In the first episode, I convinced Lizzie that when it said brain lesions, it meant like a tumor. No. This book has confirmed the lesions in the brains they are talking about are cuts.
Which does not make sense for how the pills work.
You can't eat a lesion. If they were like, oh, it's adding brain material and that's what causes the issue. Like, it could create a tumor if you don't stop it. But no, it's eating away at the brain. How does that solve lesions? That just gives you bigger lesions.
I think he forgot. Because when you read Pretty's, when you read through it, it says that it's like a cut. In Ugly's, it's a little bit more ambiguous.
Yeah, it just says lesions.
I think it said it both ways.
It just said lesions.
Just the word.
Because that's why we were confused, because she's like, I'm pretty sure it's cuts. And I'm like, well, the definition of lesions could be cuts or tumors. And I was like, but that doesn't make sense for it to be a cut, considering what's coming. But nope, this book confirms it.
Yeah, they're very clear about it in Pretty's, though. But that doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't.
Because the pills are supposed to eat through the brain material. It's supposed to eat the lesion, which is not how cuts work.
It's like subtracting from a negative and thinking you're going to get a positive number. I'm really confused. Even with our understanding of what the brain was in 2000, early 2000s, because that's when he was writing, that doesn't make sense.
No, he knew better. He did not do any research. He just typed in the word and probably decided later.
Oh my gosh.
He hit that synonym button. He's like, oh, it's a cut. No, sir, you have established it is a tumor. And then took it back.
It could have gone either way. If he wanted it to be cuts, like I said, it should have been brain producing nanos, and then you need the second pill because otherwise it'll cause a tumor. Or you needed it to be a tumor, then have the nanos eat the tumor away, and then have the second pills to stop it from eating your actual brain.
It also doesn't make sense if it's a cut, which it clearly says that it is, I think twice. It says it multiple times that it's a cut.
It is confirmed.
But they have x-rays or scans of the brains, and they're like, oh, when you're pretty, you have this. But when you're a firefighter, or when you're a doctor and like you're a middle pretty whatever, they take it away if your job needs it.
Yeah, they take it away.
You can't take away a cut unless you sew it up, but then it's still, you would see it on the x-ray, right? Am I wrong? I'm a scientist now. I'm just declaring him wrong.
So confused.
Yes. Scott Westerfield, we gotta have some questions for you. He's on to bigger, better things with his new series, though, so he will never get back to this.
Yeah, but he's the one who did it in the same universe, so I think these questions are still applicable.
True.
If you're not gonna drop it and be like, yep, that was a series I wrote 15 years ago.
And with this new movie coming back out, or about to potentially come out, who knows if they'll actually greenlight it.
I don't know what I want the movie.
I want it so bad. I want it. Oh my goodness.
Like, I don't want it to be a faithful adaptation, but I don't want it to be like, we're gonna update it for the Gen Zs. You know, like, it's not that type of, it's so 2000s. If it came out around the same time as Hunger Games, like, I feel like that would have been more appropriate.
I think it could have stood a chance.
But either way, being a faithful adaptation or updating it for the youth, the YAs now.
Gossip Girl has had a reboot and I cannot.
Oh, I've heard it's terrible.
Because the original was so far back.
Well, don't they start out by being like, hey, it's the teachers.
Yes, the teachers are the main characters. And then all of the teenagers are so Gen Z. We're supposed to root for the teachers who are millennials, who the original one was for when we were teenagers.
Which is dumb.
And it's terrible. Do not recommend. Because it took it out of the fan base and it was trying to not only get the new fan base with the Gen Zs, but also still tie in the millennials. And it's like, you have to pick one.
You have to pick your audience.
You can either get the teens or you can get the nostalgic people who actually read this book or watched the original series or the whatever. And YAs struggle with that because depending on the time period it was set, when it came out,
they want to keep the old fans, but they also want new fans.
Those are completely different audiences.
But at the same time, I also don't want an adult uglies. And that's the other thing I'm worried about Netflix, is they're going to make it way more adult.
No, no, no. They have to be teenagers as the actors or young 20s.
Well, not even age up the characters, but put them in adult situations.
I mean, those pleasure gardens are adult situation enough. And none of our main characters participate in that.
And like I said, there's mentions.
They vaguely see a couple in the corner, but you don't see. They're just like, ha ha ha, they're over there.
Zayn and Tally may or may not have. If you wanted to go through this book and pretend like they're just making out, you totally could.
Yeah. I don't think they kiss, except for the first day on the tower.
Oh no, Zayn and Tally kiss because he has to keep kissing her to keep her bubbly, and that just made me want to barf.
Maybe I blocked it all out.
Because I wrote a note and I'm like, this is dope.
I know they do at least twice. They kiss and it's a big deal. Because the first time is like the first day they hung out.
Yeah.
And then they get the pills that day and they kiss.
Yeah. That's how they're staying bubbly, is they kiss.
Yeah. I think I blocked all of that out.
There are so many things about the tower that bother me. Like earlier in the book, hunger is helpful for keeping you bubbly. And that's why Zayn doesn't eat a lot, which, like I said, that gets into some of the self-harm starvation stuff I'm not for. And so he's like, yeah, it keeps me bubbly, so I only drink coffee and have sort of breakfast or nothing else. And then later on, a couple chapters later, Tally has to push past hunger to stay bubbly. Otherwise, she just falls prey to food.
Well, I mean, that goes with the starvation, though. Eating disorders are such a big 2000s. Not that they don't still happen, but it was such a epidemic whenever I was in junior high, high school.
Yeah, but it was weirdly glorified, and that's what I don't like about it.
Yeah, because it's like, oh, these are the coolest of the cool kids in this pretty town.
Yeah, Tally reveres him for being like, oh, I don't eat anything because it keeps me bubbly. And she's like, wow, that's so cool. And it's like, no, that's starvation. And she likes his gaunt features because he is malnourished.
Yeah, she's gross. No, she's so stupid.
But there's a bunch of stuff, like when they're climbing up the tower and Tally gets dizzy because heights, so she starts looking down to calm her mind. Has this author
ever been a teenage girl? No.
Met people in general. But yeah, Tally's letter is what says the lesions are tiny scars and not tumors.
Yeah. And that's very early in the book in Pretties.
Yeah. Oh, Skipping a little ahead, another big thing with the ice rink is they were doing it to get a bunch of people's attention on it.
Yeah, for the news cameras.
Dystopia rule number one, control the media. Why in the world were the specials not able to be like, click, nope, that's not going out.
Yeah, nobody's gonna see this.
But no, for days after, people are doing news feeds about it. Like, no, the special's number one thing should be, we control the media. So just because you did that does not mean it's getting on the media. And it was just like, that is rule number one. If we're gonna do propaganda, do propaganda.
And especially because Dr. Cable is very clear, like, oh, I do not believe that you guys accidentally did this.
Yeah.
She upfront very clearly is like, no, what are you up to, Tally Youngblood? And still lets it play because it goes to their city. And I think it goes to other cities like Diego and I don't know. I think that's the only other named city in this series.
Yeah.
When you get into the other ones, they have other cities. But it's like, I think it broadcasts.
Yeah, because the city doesn't have a name.
Yeah, this is New Pretty Town where the teens stay.
Yeah, and that's one of the crazy things in the third book is Diego has like such free information.
Yeah.
And they're like, whoa, that's so crazy. But if you have no control of the media, why don't they hack the stations and be like, new smoke or anything? Clearly the media is free and running and doing whatever it wants. Specials don't control it. Why don't they play into that angle more?
Because they're dumb teenagers.
Oh my gosh.
They don't have anybody on their side.
This world is dumb. And the specials are dumb. Dr. Cable is extra dumb. All of this is dumb.
It's a dumb book that I love.
It's a dumb book. It's a dumb trilogy. Of all the things I could have picked out of the library in middle school, I picked up this one. So after the ice rink, Shay's confronting Tally for all of this time she's spending with Zane. And she specifically kind of tries to brush it off because Shay starts to remember that Tally betrayed her.
She remembers the smoke first.
Yeah. And so she remembers that.
And she's had no pills, nothing. She's just staying bubbly herself.
And so she's like, Tally, you've changed. You've changed yourself again for a guy. And Tally just brushes it off and she's like, oh, it's just my first pretty crush, which seems really manipulative considering she's living with him.
Also, she loves this boy. She's trying to downplay it. So either she does not actually love Zane, which I honestly think is the case.
True.
I know she has some deep feelings by time specials rolls around, but I think it's more of the idea of Zane. Like, that was her boy. That was who she was supposed to be protecting.
Yeah.
Because she didn't remember David, so screw him.
Yeah.
But in Pretties, he was powerful. And Shay calls her out on it. I don't know if it was in Pretties or in specials, but she always wants the powerful boy. She always wants to be the first lady.
Yeah.
Which she does. I mean, only two boys as an example, but both of them. And honestly, if Paris had been higher up on the food chain, she probably would have had her sights on him. But he's just a background crim character, so.
Yeah. And at this point in the book, Tally's suddenly like, oh my gosh, I know nothing about Zane, even though I've been living with him for weeks and we have nothing to do but talk because we're under house arrest.
Yeah, you don't have to get into the deep.
I know nothing about Zane. Well, I'm definitely not going to tell him anything about me. Like, I see no reason why she couldn't have been like, hey, so this is what happened earlier. Because the people monitoring the bracelets, which they put clothes over or whatever to try to muffle it, like, they already know. This is not new information. So just share it with Zane.
To muffle it, yeah.
But she's like, nah, I'm going to not tell him anything and I'm not going to ask anything about him.
Also, there's no proof that there's cameras.
Yes, it is a voice recording.
On the cuffs. And even in specials, whenever Zane is hanging out and like reading to the crims because he has all of their little bracelets.
It's only the sensors.
It's the sensors.
It's the ring sensors.
She could have gotten some sand or some kind of whatever if she didn't want to put it on paper, afraid that that would get caught.
She doesn't know how to write.
Oh!
That was a plot point in the first book because Shay had to write the note because she knew how to write, but Tally doesn't know how to write.
She's got all this time in the world. She can't write nothing.
She can't learn. Do something, Tally.
She can't learn anything.
What are they doing? It's literally they're under house arrest for weeks. And that's why I think maybe they did some stuff. Also, some of the phrasing in the books. I'm like, But like I said, if you want to pretend that doesn't happen.
Okay. Yeah. That makes more sense because I think I just forgot. I forgot that Shay was the only one that could write.
Yes.
And a couple of the crims, because when they were going to the smoke, a couple of them could. This is one of those books where I've read said, and this last time around, I've listened to it. So I have multiple times, maybe every other year, I read this whole series. And still, there are major plot points or little dumb things like that that I just don't remember. And I don't know if it's just because of the style of book, if that means it's a bad book or a good book. Because I think that's why I like rereading it, is because I'm confused.
Desperately trying to solve these things.
Stuff about Zane, legit. I just forget.
I know, same. It could just because it's a comfort read. Like, you know the story, and so it's just like one of those comfort things, and so you're not actually reading it to read it. You're just chasing that feeling.
Just getting along with the story a little bit.
Yeah, more that nostalgia than the book itself.
I completely forgot that. She could read on a computer. Yeah, she couldn't write.
Well, that's the thing. She can read, but she can't write. It's kind of hand in hand, guys. Like, it's not hard. You'd have crappy handwriting, but if you're able to read the note, no problem, even with a pretty brain, why can't you write?
Yeah.
Or at least type it on the computer.
I don't know.
Oh, goodness. Most of my writing is bickery stuff. Some of my bitter notes are things like they go into a cold river and then pretend hypothermia doesn't exist. And then there's this time Tally was stuffing her face with cookies, and then Zane shows up. Another part where I'm like, and Zane's like, hey, I haven't eaten all day. And Tally's like, yeah, I haven't eaten all day either. And I'm like, honey, you just ate like 5 cookies.
She's such a liar.
So why are you trying to act like you have a eating disorder to impress a guy?
Yeah.
And then, oh my gosh, one of the longest chapters of the book is this boring buildup to the furnace.
Oh my god, yes.
That never happens. And they come up with an obvious solution to be like, hey, let's do this instead.
With the hot air balloons, yeah.
To get the wristbands off.
And then they're like, gloves exist? Wow! Who knew?
Yeah. They were gonna smash it in the smasher. And then she's like, hey, this person can put their hand in fire. Let's do that.
Yeah, because she was glass blowing, I think, the lady in the corner.
And the glass blowing happens the first time they're there. And she's like, huh, that's cool. And then they break in to use the smasher. And then she's like, oh, hey, thought process.
Her pretty brain is trying so hard, okay?
Okay, that is her not pretty brain. That is her normal brain. She has supposedly beaten the pretty brain at this point. That is just Tally.
No, she never fully beat it, though, because she didn't have the cure, so she was fighting it every single day, constantly. Anytime she would eat too much or she would just let herself not fight, she'd immediately go back to being pretty brain.
Yeah.
Because I think it happened twice, but still.
Yeah. But let's talk about how the first book is world building, and then the second one is them doing dumb stunts, and then finally being like, yeah, let's totally escape. And then part three is just part two from the first book. I guess that's his wheelhouse, is survival and all of that, and so he had to include a chapter, but gosh dang it, I'm so tired of these chapters.
Oh my goodness. Andrew Simpson Smith, he is adorable.
I do like Andrew a lot.
His contained life is so small.
Yeah. And that was kind of interesting, at least, because it's not an exact carbon copy of part two, and so you actually get a little bit more like, oh my gosh, they're running anthropology experiments on these people and just letting them murder each other and blah 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 blah. Yeah,
they know what they're doing. With Uglies, it was, oh okay, we escaped, we're trying to live a better life, we won't be like the Rusties, we'll be better. And then they still end up using all of the trees and stuff, so they are not better. But with the experiment in Pretties, it is very clear
it's bigger than she thought it was, because I think she thought it was just like the medical industry.
Yes.
And now she's realizing it's the entire society.
It's the whole world.
Which I, once again, would like to point out, if making the general public pretty, that does not solve the problem of a gasoline-eating bacteria, first of all.
Yeah, that was the problem you were trying to fix, and instead you're like, wow, we just want everybody to be dumb so that they won't build more things.
Yeah.
Why don't you get a better reusable resource?
Yeah, but imagine if something happened to the renewable resource, because I think a lot of it is solar power, which again makes me question what part of Washington they're in. But what if something happened, like there was a massive fog all of a sudden for whatever reason? Because this happens. It happened a lot because of air pollution, and so they're not polluting the air as much. But let's say something happened and they just have a bunch of fog all of a sudden. Their entire society is built off of solar electricity. Their society would collapse again.
Yeah.
They haven't solved anything.
They're just like, well, we just want to expand. That solves part of your problem, but...
Or, let's do it this way. If it's not a natural thing, because it wasn't a natural thing the first time around, what if some hacker invents a way to break into the electricity system and breaks it down, completely destroys it, and causes things to start exploding? No different than the Rusties. They haven't solved anything by making people pretty. Yes, the cutters. So this begins the glorification of self-harm, which...
It starts with the eating disorder.
Yeah, it starts with... It's an eating disorder, and it's really, really worrisome. Anyway, at least in this book, Tally and Zane have the forethought to be like, holy crap, they're cutting themselves. That is bad.
Yes, they acknowledge the problem, but it doesn't negate that it's still a huge part of this book. I mean, Tally does gloss over it a little bit because, like I said, she's a terrible friend of Shay. She's like, wow, my friend is trying to potentially kill herself.
Yeah, my friend is cutting herself. She started this cult. That's super weird. So let's leave her behind and just go to the smoke. Let's not do anything.
I don't know if they knew fully about cults because their history has been brainwashed and they're only taught what they're supposed to know.
Yeah, but she got a gut feeling that this wasn't right.
Yeah.
She didn't do anything to try to help Shay. She didn't even try to talk.
My friend is clearly in trouble.
If that was me and that was my best friend, I would go up to them right there and be like, what is going on? This is not okay. What is happening? And be like, hey, we're trying to escape. You should come with us. What is this? What are you doing? Talk to them right there. Or if she was like, no, I want to wait, she totally could have waited until she was alone and kidnapped her again.
They don't even tell Shay at all, do they?
No.
They just hope the message will get to her.
Yes.
When they're going in the balloons and they're doing their big escape, all of the crims are supposed to have been told, but Tally doesn't know for sure that her friend, her best friend, supposedly, I mean, I guess parent,
and who's clearly going through some sort of breakdown,
emotional, physical, whatever breakdown,
to cause this whatever, and she's just like, wow, that's really dangerous. Bye. Gonna go away with my boyfriend now.
Yeah, I'm gonna leave town. I'm gonna make sure that I'm not around to witness this.
She's the worst.
The opposite of a cry for help. That's what Tally is.
So yeah, they leave. They go to Rusty's.
Yeah.
And I don't remember how they get there. I don't care at this point. And then Tally decides she's just gonna hate Maddie, even though Tally's the one who caused all these issues. And so Maddie has every right to be mad at Tally. And in her mind, Maddie, she also left David for Zane.
Yeah.
She convinced David to love her in Maddie's perspective, and then told on everyone, which led to her husband dying. And then, yeah, she saved them and was gonna do the pills, but as soon as she comes back, she's with a new boy and being mean to Maddie.
Yeah, no, Maddie is justified. This is David's mom. If my son had his little heart broken because of some girl who didn't deserve him anyway, and then on top of that, got my husband killed, I'd be mad. I'd be so mad. She is justified. And then Tally just, it's unclear, or at least it was to me, why she's so mad at Maddie.
She's mad at Maddie because Maddie was mad at her.
Oh, yeah, that's very on brand for Tally.
Someone doesn't worship me. Either I leave them behind or I'm mean to them.
You don't like me? Oh no.
Oh yeah, she's the worst.
Well, and it's like anybody gives her attention, she's like, wow, you're my man now.
I'm special.
Yeah. I'm surprised they didn't try and get her with Andrew Simpson Smith. He was worshiping her.
Yeah, but he was too barbaric for her. Not up to her standards.
She needs a powerful man. I don't know. He was the leader of their little cult, their little community.
He was the holy man.
The holy man, yes. I was like, he wasn't the chief. He was something else.
In this book, I will say she's rather loyal to Zane. I will give her that.
Yeah, they try to keep it going with specials.
No, they didn't.
But Pretty's is the one where this is her boy. Because even in Uglies, even with David, I don't think she fully loved David.
Yeah. Teenage infatuation, he made her feel special.
Yeah.
Because he's special. Liking her makes her special.
Zane, I think, was a real relationship.
Yeah.
As much as Tally could love another person.
As much as she's capable of human emotions.
As much as she was capable, yes. But I do think, honestly, if Paris had had more of a sway with the Crims, I think she would have liked him more than she likes Zane.
True.
It just happened to work out.
Can we also talk about how Maddie performs casual brain surgery without medical equipment or electricity to figure out what happened to Zane?
Oh, but she can't pull out his tooth at the very end. They're like, nah.
Oh my gosh, the tooth!
We gotta leave Zane behind. We can't take him with us. I'm like, you can't pull out a tooth? You can't crack it?
It's something like if they take it out, it's going to explode. Let me try to find it. Tally realized they planted a tracker in Zane, which I was like, genius. But yeah, I was like, this woman can perform brain surgery, but she can't take pliers to a tooth.
But you can't do this. She could make pills in the wilderness.
She can make brain-eating nanos in the wilderness in like a week, but she can't take a tooth out.
But she can't get this poor boy's tooth out. No, I think Maddie was being salty. She was like, I can get rid of Tally. I don't think she cared that much about Zane, but she's like, I don't have to bring this girl with me. My son will be free of her because she'll go back to the city and we'll all move on with our lives because she's attached to this boy.
Yeah.
I think it was spiteful. I think she could have done it.
You think it was premeditated?
They were on a time constraint, so I think that might have been some of it because they were getting raided. They had to go now.
Yeah.
I think that could be an excuse for Maddie, but no, she could have done it. She could have done it.
I'm trying to remember, and my brain, I didn't write it down, but my brain is telling me if they took the tooth out, something was gonna happen. Like, if they did it wrong, they could kill Zane or something. But that could totally be my brain justifying it.
They don't care about Zane. Go ahead.
Because I seriously did. That is my notes from what I had, is Tally realizes they plant a tracker. I put genius, sarcastically, obviously.
Yeah.
And then I put, this woman can perform brain surgery, but she can't take pliers to a tooth. And then my next note is, Tally refuses to leave Zane. And David accuses her of only staying because he's pretty.
Oh, that was crushing. When she says, get your ugly face away from me, or some kind of something along the lines.
If I cared about David, I'm sure that would be crushing.
To be fair, the first couple times I've read it, I never bonded with Zane.
I liked Zane a lot.
I thought David was endgame, which I guess he sort of is.
Meh, I didn't like David.
But with Zane, I just didn't like him. I loved David.
See, that was the thing. I remembered from Uglies, and in that episode being like, I don't remember why in Pretties I hate David. And David comes back and I'm like, dang it.
Because you liked Zane.
Because I like Zane.
Yeah.
So much better. And that's another reason I hated Pretties, is David comes back.
Well, looking back and being an adult and stuff, it's like, okay, he clearly, David had the power dynamic, and Zane, they were more of equals.
It's a much healthier dynamic. It was obvious that the author wanted it to be David.
Yes. Because I think he knew end goal was gonna be David, so he's like, okay, I gotta keep sprinkling in. I gotta make it little bits to make you want David some more.
Yeah. But yeah, that's part of the love triangle. At the very end of the book, what is this?
Yeah, he's not in Pretties.
Two chapters from the end, David shows up and is like, you're only staying with Zane because he's pretty.
And she throws it in his face.
And Tally's like, no, I actually have a bond with this person. And that's the other thing. David never takes her seriously.
Because she's a child. I think by the time Pretties has happened, I think he's 19. Or maybe older than that.
Well, that too. But he's so, it's this type of misogyny where he's like, oh, boys can have thoughts, but Tally only likes him because he's pretty. And even in Uglies, he kind of showed that, where it's like, Tally, you're special, but all the things she was special about is like
physical. He thought she was pretty.
The way he treated her was always never taking her seriously.
She's delicate.
Yeah.
He gave her gloves because she couldn't handle working like the rest of them.
Yeah, but everyone else be damned.
Yes.
I don't know. It's
But also, I mean, to our knowledge, Zane didn't have other girlfriends. He might have, and I mean, it's not clear how long he had been in Pretty Town.
Yeah.
But David clearly was with Shay and Uglies, and he ditched her.
Which, let's talk about the lovely naming devices of Scott.
Pretty Town?
Uglyville.
Yeah.
New Pretty Town.
Wasn't it Crumbly Town?
Crumblyville.
Crumblyville, yeah. For old people. Because they're crumbling. They're falling apart. They live to be like 100-something because of plastic plastic surgery and stuff.
The fact that the old people were like, yeah, Crumblyville, let's go live there.
Crumblyville. Oh, I love it.
Oh my gosh.
Because there's a late pretty area where they can stay. But as soon as you start having kids, you're old as dirt.
No, there's like a suburbs, but that doesn't have a name. He didn't give that a name. And then there's like a retirement area, and that's Crumblyville. And so we already talked about the end where Shay is a special and kidnaps Tally, and now she's a special. So let's talk about some other stuff, because we also have to record the specials episode.
Yeah.
General thoughts. Like I said, it's very interesting as an adult that this book, I know how much we ranted about how much I dislike Tally, but
I do. I love it though. She was semi-realistic for a teen girl in the 2000s. It was a pick me, but so were most of the YAs.
This book is definitely past what I can read now as an adult. But of the three, if I had to rate the three
in the trilogy,
this would probably be my highest. And I think that's really interesting. One question for the author. I have so many.
Why did you not fully name all your characters? That's my biggest one.
That's a good one. Why didn't you ever name the city? The city never has a name. The naming structure, I will also agree, the naming structures could have used a little work. We could have used a map. That would have been great.
Yeah. In the newer books, because there is that new trilogy that came out, one of them's called Shattered City. I think that's the second or third one. I can't remember what the first one's name is, but it continues in that series, past extras, but it's not too far in the future because Tally is brought up briefly, but as like a, oh, like how we talk about our history people.
Yeah.
But it's not so far in the future that she might not make an appearance in the series.
Yeah.
She has not yet. I've read both the first two books, but I think she's still alive. But Andrew Simpson Smith comes back, which, spoilers, but yes, my man, my boy.
He's pretty cool. Rating. I would give this botched plastic surgery out of 10. I spent way too much money on this, which is I bought a single copy of this book and that was too much. A used copy of this book and it was too much.
Oh my goodness.
And it took too much time and there was so much hope and no. This series is like, nope. And that also might be a little bit of specials leaking in, but I don't think I'll ever read this series again.
It's hard to separate one book in the series. The first one kind of could stand alone.
Yes, which is typically how books are written because you never know if you're going to get a sequel, but it's very leading.
Especially with trilogies. But for pretties, if specials wasn't there, I don't know if it could be the end of the series and still be good.
No, it was very leading. You could tell it was the second of a series. And that's why it's been so hard not to talk about specials.
Or uglies.
Well, we haven't really talked about uglies that much, but so much stuff is brought up in pretties that plays out in specials.
It's a setup book?
Yes.
For me, I think that's why it's not my favorite, because I know you said you like pretties better, but I think uglies is my favorite of the three because the potential is still there and it hasn't been ruined by specials mostly. And with pretties, it has to try still. I will give it a ice skating rink filled with champagne exploding into a soccer field out of 10 because it had its moments. It was fun and exciting.
And once you're done, you're like, wow, not doing that again.
Yeah. Like, oh, that was fun, but maybe I'm done for a while. Not gonna put on skates again. Might not sit on the bleachers next time I go out.
Read again. I'm not reading this again. I don't think I have it in me to read this again. The series in general, I don't think I have it in me to read again. It sounds like you're probably gonna read it again.
I read it every year, maybe 2 years, because I've started counting on Goodreads and tracking.
I still don't know what nostalgia appeals to you so much.
I don't know. I love this series. And it's so problematic and it's very flawed. But I also never got into The Hunger Games or The Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe or any of the other really big ones of our time.
Yeah, Harry Potter was banned in your house.
Yes, we couldn't do that. But the YA dystopian novels, because I loved the Unwind series, which is very scientifically flawed. Matched series, which was great, but had a lot of, I don't know, love triangles everywhere.
Yeah.
And then the Barcode Tattoo series also was another one.
Oh my gosh.
That is so problematic.
I read the first one and I couldn't go on. You even for me in middle school, it was bad.
I love that you vaguely put a little science, a little bit of history in there, and you just have to accept that this is what the book is doing.
One day I need to tell you about the YA sci-fi book I read where a kid finds out he's an alien race. And
oh my goodness.
He lives in a cult where it's all the aliens teaching him how to alien and use his powers, but not admitting they're aliens.
Oh my goodness. I would love that.
I need to find that again for you. But I feel like that's the type of, like, because you also are a bit of a cringe connoisseur, because I've talked about this in the past.
I love so much stuff that's terrible, but it's unironically. I love it.
And see, that's the thing. It's like, I can do that for movies and video games, but you and James can do it with books.
I love it. I do.
And I can't, the effort I put into reading something is too much for me to enjoy the cringe. I feel like if I had them, okay, I don't think I could even do these as audiobooks.
I was about to say, I thoroughly enjoyed these as an audiobook, almost as much as I did as physically reading the book.
But it is that same cringy 2000s that I think really fits.
But that's where most of the books, like the Maximum Ride series was early 2000s, Hunger Games, Twilight even.
Twilight, oh.
Honestly, if you're going to read a Stephenie Meyer, read The Host, the book, the movie.
No, I hated that.
No, the movie is so bad. Don't do it.
Oh, well, I've never saw the movie. I tried to read the first couple chapters of The Host and I hated it. Why are you doing aliens? Stop. This is weird.
No, it's so fascinating to me. Just a little bit of science, a little bit of, oh, it's slightly in the future.
It's just 5 years in the future.
Just accept it. Go on. Move on. This is what we're doing.
Yep. This is how society is. No questions.
Almost always is a brunette female that's about 15 to 18.
Oh my gosh. Yes.
This is my genre I love. And I am almost 28. I am grown.
I think that's another reason I never really got into those books is they literally all are brunettes. There was not a single blonde among them.
Yeah. Because it's typically, that's what people think the most people look like.
Yeah, the typical girl. I think it's very telling what type of girl, and then not all actual brunettes are, but more like the stereotypes of brunettes.
Oh yeah.
I think it's very interesting to go back and look who their real audience was. Favorite of the series? I mean, we've already been talking about mine so far is Pretty. Yours would be Ugly so far.
Yeah.
Thank you for exploring Pretties with us. I'm Sam Reiner.
And I'm Danielle.
And we hope to see you and a friend here next time. Escape With Me Book Club is a Lunar Skulk production. Check us out on TikTok or Instagram to keep up to date with us. Lunar_SKULK.